Hey, what's happening, everybody? Welcome back to the Weekend Talk. I am your host, Lucky. Unfortunately, no Johnny and no Michael today. I know, very disappointing. But either way, why don't we just get straight into this? Because I'm actually really excited for this week. I think this is probably one of the strongest weeks that we've had for the Weekend Talk. If you guys are new to the Weekend Talk and here new here to Anime Casuals in general, usually there's two other co-hosts with me. They'll be back on Tuesday for the casual discussion. But for the Weekend Talk, we talk about, in this case, four anime that we are covering each and every week. And basically, all we talk about is just, you know, each episode from episode to episode, weekly. And in this case, we are talking about, and in this order, also, when we talk about these things, we talk about them in hype order. So basically, the first anime that we talk about is the least hype. Last anime is the most hype. Doesn't mean anything, you know, terrible about the anime or anything like that, but I just want to let you guys know. Either way, today we're going to be talking about Spy Family episode 23. Oh man, actually, you know, I might be putting this. You know what? Let's do Chainsaw Man episode 10, Spy Family episode 23, Bleach Thousand Year Blood War episode 10, and My Hero Academia season 6 episode 124. So let's start off with Chainsaw Man here episode 10. So we are on the aftermath of the crazy incident that happened where basically Squad 4 got demolished. I believe it was Squad 4 of the Devil Hunter Division. Thing I don't know what they call it, can't remember. Either way, basically everybody got their butts kicked. So here we are now, basically in the, which is kind of crazy. I'm gonna be honest with you, this is one of the most intense first seasons that I've ever seen. I think the only thing that could rival this in terms of intensity in the first part of something would probably be Akame ga Kill, like the very first episode. But either way, we have a crazy first season. We got the you know, we've got basically a bunch of people that we thought were going to be in the whole series, not there anymore. And now we're kind of recovering from that. We've got Aki, you know, just recovering. We've got Denji, who is freaking immortal, by the way. Let's not forget about that. He's freaking immortal. And then we've got Power next to him, who is semi-immortal, which comes into play a little bit later on in the episode. But we've got Aki recovering. We've got all that going on. And then we end up seeing, you know, we end up seeing that everybody's going into training, basically. Aki is going to be making a new pact with a new demon. A new devil, future devil, which it's very interesting. I'm wondering how that's going to work. Who else is contracted with the devil, the future devil, and will they take a liking to Aki? You know, they had mentioned that, that devils take if they take a liking with you, you can bargain with them a little bit. So we'll see how that goes. I'm wondering what has to be given up? What power do you get from them, right? So anyway, going back to the story, the main thing I wanted to get into was Denji and Power's predicament, because what we talked about before, them being basically immortal, has played against them in this case. We've got Miss Makima giving them over to this guy who we've met before. We met him. When I'm trying to remember, I always call her Eye Patch Girl, and I'm going to keep calling her Eye Patch Girl. Eye Patch Girl was mourning over her last, person. The last partner that she had. We find out that he is apparently the best devil hunter, which is pretty apparent in this episode. And then we get to see, that basically he's going to train, Power and he's going to train Power and and Denji by just killing them over and over again. And basically the idea is once they can kill him, they'll be strong enough. So I mean, to be fair, that's actually pretty good logic, right? If he's the most powerful devil hunter and these devils can kill him, then they are the most powerful devils, right? Which kind of makes me wonder, like, why isn't he just going after the devil, like Gun Devil? Like, how strong is the Gun Devil that, you know, they need all of this training and all of this new stuff. Kind of curious to see, because there are a lot of, listen, there's a lot of people that are afraid of guns, right? And if, especially with, you know, people who work for the gun devil killing people with guns, well, I mean, that's a pretty bad time right there, right? It's causing more fear, so it's kind of interesting predicament they got themselves in. So either way, watching some of this fight scenes, dude, it was crazy, dude. Watching the instructor just basically hand L's down to Denji and Power all day, dude, was crazy. And by the way, I didn't actually realize Denji was that immortal. Like, they basically said that he is immortal. Like, he can lit, and which I'm wondering, maybe that it has something to do with the what the why the Gun Devil wants his heart. I'm not completely sure. And then we have once again Aki. I'm just kind of wondering what he's going to do, because we figure out that he has 2 years left basically after using the curse devil, the curse, you know, devil, which kind of, to be fair, it kind of sucks, you know. You know, the fact that he used that on this sword dude, and yet he you know, didn't kill him, you know. But yeah, I'm really excited to see what happens, dude. Chainsaw Man's been really delivering each and every episode, and the enders are great, dude. Like, I like this ending in particular. It's kind of showing like that Denji and Power are being treated like animals, right? Like, that's why all these dogs are around. And I was telling one of my co-workers who also watches anime, I was like, yo, the production in this is crazy, because there is so they have to do a new outro for each one. There's new music, all that kind of stuff. Like, it's insane, dude. So excuse me. Anyway, yeah, Chainsaw Man, great. Episode 10, awesome. Let's go into Spy Family episode 23. So Spy Family, we have the end of the Campbellden arc. I don't know if you know, even know if you can call it an arc with two episodes, but we've got that. Really, really good, by the way. I really like that tennis match, dude. That animation where they're where, you know, after the brother and sister have employed basically every single tactic to stop them, was hilarious. You know, just watching Twilight and Nightfall just you know, just dodge everything is hilarious, and then just say, oh yeah, I'm a little hungover, right? Like, it was hilarious to me. But really, it does get to show, you know, it does show you this like otherworldliness of each person, right? And you know, showed a lot. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I'm able to kind of see through Twilight's disguises now. I'm not saying that like that's a main concern of the show, like, oh, I could see through all Twilight's disguises. So that's not, obviously not what it's trying to do there, right? But you know, I just think it's cool that now I know basically what, because I just dispelled relief. I'm like, ah, it's probably Twilight. When he was the guy putting the pictures away. A really, really cool episode. But I just like how it all culminated to eventually the fact that when they get their hands on this art piece, they figure out that it leads to a this guy's picture, pictures of these actresses that he, you know, he really likes to watch, you know, theater and all that kind of stuff, and he hid it from his family basically. So in other words, it would start a war. That was the whole thing, right? Like, oh man, if this secret gets out, this could start another war. But what we really figured out was this could start a war within his home. Which, you know, I guess is kind of wholesome. I think it's a little like scummy for this dude to just basically keep his porno collection, you know, in a vault. But hey, whatever. You know, just come on, dude. Come on, you got a family. Anyway, but I want to talk about like the main part of this, which is what I think is going to be the last part of this season. So we're on episode 23 right now. There were 13 episodes in the last season, I believe, 12 or 13. And I believe the last couple episodes are going to be on based on Yor, right? We have this tennis match that goes on. I don't even know if you can call it a match, because Yor basically wipes the floor with Fiona, or Nightfall, by just slamming this ball apparently at the speed of light. Which I was arguing this, right? Is that I don't think she lost technically. Like, she hit the ball, but the racket broke. So just get a stronger racket. You don't need to go out into the hill. I don't know if you guys, any of you guys stayed for after the credits, but after the credits we see the scene of Fiona up in the mountains, like training, and she's got like this giant stick with a gigantic rock at the end of it, just practicing her swing. I'm like, I don't think you have to practice your swing. I think you just need a better racket, but just borrow one from the brother and sister duo. I don't know, do something like that. Either way, there was a lot of it was pretty interesting watching that. But also, in regards to Yor, right, we get this scene at the very end where Yor, because you know Yor ends up saying something to Lloyd, where she's like, "I won, Lloyd, I won," and he's kind of like confused, like, "Yeah, you won." Like, he kind of knew she was gonna win, but she's almost disappointed that he's not happier for her because he doesn't realize that this fight between Fiona and Yor is more than just a tennis match, right? It's them basically deciding who gets to stay as the wife. Which, in other words, we're starting to see that we already know Fiona has feelings for Twilight. We're starting to see that Yor is having feelings for Lloyd. So I'd really like to see that expanded upon, and maybe Lloyd, maybe this will teach Lloyd that he has feelings for her. I'm not too sure, but I really enjoyed, that. So, but like I said, like seeing Yor with that kind of face where it's very ominous. Like, I don't know if she's about to go kill someone. I don't know if she looks very strange. So it'll be interesting to see what happens next. And I've been talking about this for a while. I really, really was hoping that there'd be a Yor part coming up. So I'm really happy. And it looks like it might be. So either way, we'll keep our fingers crossed. Let's go over into, where are we at right now? Bleach, right? Yeah, Bleach, Thousand Year Blood War, Episode 10. So we have met the Zanpakuto creator, which, you know, that kind of like throws me off, right? I'm starting to remember like little bits and pieces of this, but yeah, you know, we go from, you know, eating a bunch of meat or eating a bunch of meals and eventually going over to the Zanpakuto creator. We'll get into the Zaraki part or the Kenpachi part in a second, but we basically see that this creator has these swords. They basically look like people that are like just all blank, and basically they are these blank Zanpakutos that are given, and basically people create their own Zanpakutos by their own personality, and basically like it becomes a reflection of them, which I thought that was like a really interesting idea, right? And it goes back to actually a filler arc that we had seen a long time ago. I don't know if you guys remember this. It's okay if you haven't, but there was a filler arc where each person's Zanpakuto basically came to life. I thought that was really interesting. You know, because we get to see like their actual personalities, right? I'd mentioned this last week with Johnny, where, you know, we meet Renji's Zanpakuto. It's like a baboon girl and a little snake kid. So yeah, it was really, really interesting. But now we're kind of seeing that personified, or we're seeing that actually like kind of play out into canon to a certain degree. But we see that Ichigo and Renji have to stay, like, survive for, like, however long against these people that are just, or these beings that eventually become Zanpakutos, basically just, like, go after them, and eventually Renji is chosen, but, Naruto's not chosen because he's not in the show, Ichigo is not chosen, so, we see that the Zanpakuto creator sends him to his own world, or to I'm trying to figure out what exactly is going on. Whether this is like an illusory place based off of Ichigo's past, or if this is like the real world, right? Because he's outside of his father's clinic, so maybe his dad will explain some things to him so that he can go further. I'd be interested to see what kind of goes on. Also, maybe hear a little bit more about Ichigo's dad, like in Sarate. Like, let's hear about him in the 10 squad, or the Gotei, you know, squads. I'd like to hear a little bit more about that. So either way, let's get to the Kenpachi fight. Okay, that was a fantastic fight, dude. I'm gonna be honest with you, I was a little confused at one point. I believe that Urahara, is that her name? Yeah, Unohana, excuse me. I believe that Unohana was basically killing Zaraki like the entire time and healing him or something along the lines of that. And I think this is the more likely one. I got a little confused at some point in the episode where she was like, you know why I taught you to you know why I learned how to heal, right? So she can heal herself basically. But at one point she mentions like, I'll keep killing you over and over and over again. And I guess what happened was he was like asleep the entire time. But I thought it was so interesting that he was that strong as a kid that eventually he tapered himself down to make himself, the same, like to enjoy fights, in other words. I thought that was really interesting. I like that idea because Kenpachi has always seemed, I think that's one of the best explanations that we've had of why a character is not reaching their full potential, right? I think that's awesome. I actually really like that. So it's cool. It's awesome to see him finally reach that potential and possibly, we'll see a little bit more, of him. It's sad to see Unohana pass away, right? Like, to be fair, she wasn't really in the series at all. And I think, if anything, she was probably one of the best kept secrets in the show. Like, I knew about her, for years ago since I read the manga. But it was one of those things where I was like, dude, I cannot believe this. So I was really hoping, once Johnny sees it and all that stuff, because he's the only one that hasn't read it. But I just thought that was so cool, like, wow, that's such a cool little secret, that they hid in there. Because she really hasn't done too much. Like, mostly she's been in the filler, she's been in the quiet parts, she is in that part in Hueco Mundo where she goes there to heal people. Like, that's all she does. But I all of a sudden now she's she's a Kenpachi and all that stuff. So but she does make a good point, right? Like, there can't be two Kenpachis or else they'll dull their swords and all that other stuff. So either way, we did get a faint idea that Zaraki will now be able to talk to his, if you guys remember, people actually will talk to their Zanpakutos, and that's how they're able to activate them. That's how they're all able to do that. So it'll be interesting because Zaraki has not even done his Shikai, which is like the first transformation. Like, he's just got a sword. So it'll be interesting to see what that transformation looks like. I personally know what it is, so let me know what you guys your guys' guesses are. If you guys have already read it, are you excited? Because this is gonna be awesome. So either way, let's get into the last one, My Hero Academia Season 6, Episode 124. We have found out who Dobby is. We have found out that he is Toya, I believe is what the name was. He is the son of Endeavor, or in other words, he is Shoto Todoroki's brother. So he is Toya Todoroki. And I have to say, man, I was floored by that revelation. And can I just say something? I am surprised that I'm floored because Toya actually mentions, or I don't know what we want to call him anymore, but Toya, he ends up mentioning that, to Endeavor, right? Because he's like, you never knew, even though I have this flame quirk. Like, how many flame quirks do you know about, right? Like, they're a dime a dozen. And I was like, huh, that's actually a good point. There aren't too many people with flame quirks. It's a very good point. So when he mentioned that, I was like, oh, that's a good point. How come I didn't even think? I always thought that maybe he had something against Endeavor. Maybe like, for me, I just kind of thought that Endeavor may have burned him up as a criminal at one point. Did not realize he was going to be a son. That was insane, dude. So yeah, looking at that, like, that was an awesome reveal. I thought they did a really good job with it. And me personally, man, I thought it was handled really, really well. So we've got Toya basically, going after Endeavor now. It'll be interesting to see what happens with all of that, because now we've got Gigantomachia there. So what's going to happen there? Now we've got basically a bunch of people out of commission right now. And is Todoroki going to face off against his own brother? I don't know, because Endeavor definitely doesn't look like he's going to. Is this the end for Endeavor? Like, what's going to happen? But I do have to say that Toya's plan was actually really ingenious, right? He used that one dude with the, I don't know what his quirk is, but he's always at a computer. So I can't remember off the top of my head. I think it has something to do with computers. But just being able to send out all of those, that whole that video to everybody. It was really interesting. But also, funny enough, he also mentioned something about Hawks, which is that a Hawks's father was a criminal who Endeavor caught. So we kind of figure out that Hawks has this past, right? Which I'm like, dude, we got to know more about this. Which maybe that's why he looks up to Endeavor as like a father figure, maybe. And why he trusts Endeavor so much, because maybe he replaced the father that he never had, right? Like maybe he doesn't feel bitter against him, but he just feels like he wants to have that father figure. So he chose to impart that onto the hero that took down his father. But also, right, we gotta talk about Best Genius, right? Best Genius comes in and just, I mean, I gotta, I dude, I don't even know what's happening right now, dude. Like this is insanity. Because I've always thought Best Genius was one of those heroes that's like really overlooked. And if I'm not mistaken, he's the number three hero, right? There's Endeavor, Hawks, and him, or something like that. I can't remember off the top of my head, but either way, I thought that was awesome, dude, when he comes in and just like stops everybody. And it looks like he's got like these mechanisms to like actually, hamper down movement. So I'm excited to see what happens, dude. I've been really wanting a Best Genius moment, because he had his moment against One For All where he kind of like he saved everybody, and One For All kind of acknowledge, sorry, All For One kind of acknowledges him. Is like, you know what, your quirk isn't that great. Like even if I took this quirk, I wouldn't be as good as you, because this is years and experience of you honing in this quirk, which I thought that was just such a big compliment, right, to his character. Granted, by a character that's kind of a jerk, but yeah, I cannot wait to see Best Genius like come in clutch, because they need somebody to come in clutch. Because right now, Giganto Machia, the way he is, they gotta stop him. They gotta stop him, and hopefully, the sedative works out for them. But either way, what do you guys think about all this? Like, I thought this was a hype week, dude. This is such a great week. I'm trying to think if there's anything else from that episode. Those are like the main things I remember for the most part. But I just, you know what? I just can't wait for every single Saturday, dude. I'm always looking forward to two things: eating a bunch of food and watching anime, because that's where My Hero and Spy Family come on. Ooh, great Saturdays. Oh, awesome. Either way, guys, hopefully you enjoyed that episode. Remember, you can check out all things casual at the link tree in the info box. Also, if you'd like to email us, you can email us at anime casuals with an S, real at gmail.com. But as always, guys, don't forget to keep it casual.